Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Welcome back to our journey through Western moral philosophy. Today we leave the lecture halls of the scholastics and step into the poetic imagination of one of the greatest writers of all time, Dante Alighieri. Born in Florence in 1265, Dante was not a systematic philosopher like Aquinas, but his masterpiece, The Divine Comedy, dramatizes an entire moral universe. In it, we see the medieval worldview, sin, justice, virtue, and salvation. Come alive in unforgettable images. Dante shows us philosophy not in dry propositions, but as a journey through hell, purgatory, and paradise, guided by reason and faith. His poetry became a cultural bridge, taking the moral philosophy of Aquinas and his age, and giving it artistic form that has endured for centuries.
Dante was born into a world of political turmoil. Florence was divided by bitter factional strife, the Guelphs and the Ghibellines, and Dante, trained as both a poet and a statesman, became embroiled in politics. He rose to prominence, even serving as a city official. But in 1302, his enemies gained power and Dante was condemned to exile. He would never return to Florence. Homeless and dependent on patrons, he wandered from court to court, carrying the pain of banishment in his heart. This sense of exile became a central theme in his poetry, the soul's exile from God, and the long road home. Dante was also deeply learned. He studied theology, philosophy, and the poetry of classical and medieval masters. He absorbed Aristotle through Aquinas, read Cicero and Virgil, and meditated on Augustine. His work shows the fusion of classical reason and Christian revelation that defined the Middle Ages. In his exile, Dante began composing the Divine Comedy, an epic poem of 14,000 lines, written in Italian, not Latin, so that ordinary people could read it. He called it a comedy because, unlike a tragedy that ends in despair, his poem ends in joy, the vision of God. But its scope is vast. Dante imagines himself journeying through the afterlife, guided first by the Roman poet Virgil, symbol of human reason, and then by his beloved Beatrice, symbol of divine grace. The poem has three parts: Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso. Hell, Purgatory, and Heaven. Each realm dramatizes the moral philosophy of his age. Hell is the realm of justice, sinners punished in ways that reveal the twisted nature of their sins. Purgatory is the realm of mercy, souls who sinned but repented, slowly purified by climbing a mountain of penance. Heaven is the realm of love. The blessed enjoy increasing light and joy as they ascend toward God. In Dante's hell, punishments are not arbitrary tortures, but poetic justice, what he calls contrapasso, counter-suffering. The lustful are blown forever in a storm, never finding rest, as they once were tossed by passion. The fraudulent are twisted into forms that mirror their deceit. Each punishment reveals the deeper truth. Sin is a disordered love, a turning of the soul away from its true good. Here, Dante makes philosophy vivid. Justice isn't abstract, it is experienced, embodied. In Purgatory, we see Aquinas's virtue ethics come to life. Each terrace of the mountain corrects a particular vice: pride, envy, wrath, sloth, avarice, gluttony, lust, by teaching the soul its opposite virtue. The proud bend under heavy stones, learning humility. The envious have their eyes sewn shut, learning to rejoice in others' good. It is moral education through symbolic suffering, leading the soul upward toward freedom. Here, Dante shows that the moral life is not just punishment, but growth, not condemnation, but healing. Among the vices Dante treats most powerfully is greed, or avarice. For Dante, greed is not merely the love of money, but a disordered clinging to earthly things that blinds the soul to higher goods. He saw it as one of the most destructive sins, corroding both personal virtue and civic life. In the Inferno, the greedy are punished in the fourth circle. The avaricious and the prodigal, hoarders and wasters alike, are condemned to push great weights against each other, crashing together endlessly. They shout accusations, "Why hoard? Why waste?" locked in eternal futility. The image is devastating. Those who once labored endlessly to gain or squander wealth now struggle with pointless burdens forever. Dante's symbolism is clear. Greed reduces life to toil without meaning, a cycle of acquisition that never satisfies. In the Purgatorio, the avaricious lie prostrate on the ground, face down in the dust, bound hand and foot. Their eyes are fixed on the earth they once adored too much. It is a vivid inversion. Those who sought to rise by wealth are now pressed into the ground, learning through humility that all possessions are temporary. Their penance teaches them to redirect their vision upward, toward the eternal. For Dante, greed is not only a personal failing, but a social disease. He condemns Florence itself for its mercantile obsession, lamenting how bankers and merchants destroyed civic virtue. He rails against the church for its avarice, popes and prelates seeking gold and temporal power rather than spiritual leadership. In Dante's moral imagination, greed is the vice that corrupts cities, poisons justice, and blinds souls to love. Its cure, he suggests, is generosity and justice, the use of wealth for the common good, and the humility to see possessions as temporary means, not ultimate ends. One of the great themes of Dante's poem is the balance of reason and faith. Virgil, the poet of Rome, represents human reason and philosophy. He can guide Dante far, through hell and up the mountain of purgatory. But at the gates of paradise, reason must yield to Beatrice, symbol of divine wisdom and grace. Dante dramatizes what Aquinas taught in Fury, that reason can guide us to virtue and knowledge, but faith is needed to reach our ultimate end. Philosophy alone is noble but incomplete. Theology and revelation complete the journey. Though Dante is remembered as a poet, the Divine Comedy is saturated with moral philosophy. He draws on Aristotle's ethics, Augustine's theology, Aquinas's natural law, and Boethius's vision of fortune. His poem is a grand synthesis of the medieval moral cosmos, but it is also intensely personal. Dante himself is the pilgrim, learning, stumbling, repenting. The comedy is a confession in verse. He exposes his own sins and hopes for redemption. In that sense, it is a universal story. The soul's journey from confusion to clarity, from sin to virtue, from exile to home. The impact of Dante's Divine Comedy is incalculable. It fixed in Western imagination the very geography of the afterlife. Artists, theologians, and ordinary readers drew their picture of hell, purgatory, and heaven from Dante. But more than imagery, Dante offered a moral vision, that every choice has weight, that justice is real, that virtue is the path to freedom, and that love is the final meaning of existence. He also helped shape the Italian language, proving that philosophy and poetry could be expressed in the vernacular, not just Latin. In doing so, he anticipated Renaissance humanism, where literature, art, and philosophy would speak to the whole person. Why should we still read Dante today? Because he reminds us that philosophy is not only argument, but story, not only doctrine, but vision. He shows us what it feels like to live in a moral universe, to suffer sin, to struggle for virtue, to hope for grace. His poem asks each of us, where are you on this journey? Are you lost in a dark wood, enslaved to vice? Are you climbing toward virtue with difficulty? Or do you catch glimpses of the light of love that calls us higher? Dante insists that our lives are a moral pilgrimage and that every step has meaning.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Philosophy for Beginners. In our next stage, we will leave the Middle Ages behind and step into the Renaissance. When thinkers like Erasmus, Machiavelli, and Montaigne began to reimagine philosophy in a world opening toward humanism, exploration, and reform, Dante gave us the closing vision of the medieval world, a a universe ordered by justice and redeemed by love. The humanists who follow will bring philosophy down from heaven and back into the civic and cultural life of this world. But before we leave Dante, remember this: philosophy need not always wear the cloak of dry argument. Sometimes its deepest truths come in the form of a story, a journey, a poem. Dante's Divine Comedy is just that, a philosophy of the moral life written in fire and stars, still calling us to seek justice, virtue, and love. Produced by Selenius Media, music by The Artificial Laboratory.